treat others, the way I have tried to raise my family. And I know that it makes a lot of difference, a Christian home. Maybe we can pray before we go further. Dear Lord, again tonight we thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you, Lord, for the home, the institution that you have made. Lord, I thank you for the dear people that are here tonight, for the parents. Lord, I pray you'd give them wisdom to raise their families to serve you. Lord, just now we want to pray for the youth, for the young people, for those that are even younger than that, coming to the age of accountability. I pray that you would touch each of our hearts and help us, Lord, to have our minds and our hearts turn toward you, that we would do your will and live for you. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus and for what he's done for us. We pray in his name. Amen. My subject tonight is to talk to the youth. And I'd like to give at the onset here a verse from 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I don't know how many of you have noticed across the land what a lot of the churches are like, but a lot of the churches have lost a good bit of their youth. And I think an example, a Christian example among the youth, is a great blessing to the church and is a testimony to the community. Now, I recognize our brother talked about the home, and I believe that is very important, that a godly home is important in our day and age. And it shines out. It shines out like a light, like a beacon. A lot of people look on and you don't think they notice, but they do. You go down the road, you go into the grocery store, you go wherever, and your children are well behaved. People notice and they wonder what's different. And the youth. If you're living for God and you're taking life seriously, people notice. And it's an encouragement. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word. That has to do with your what you say. In conversation, has to do with your life. In charity, has to do with love. What do you love? In spirit, how do you come across? What's on your face? What's written on your face that people see? In faith, what do you believe? In purity, how do you conduct yourself? In purity. Well, if you would bear with me just a little bit tonight, I would like to just give a few practical pointers. And I apologize because you probably all gotten these thoughts already. Maybe this is what you teach every other month here. I don't know. But youth. I'd like to talk especially to the boys at first. You know, we as boys, we're oftentimes shy a little bit. Or we're too bold. Oftentimes we're kind of one way or the other. A little bit more than we should be. And, you know, as youth boys, we don't always know where the line should be drawn. But boys, if you're asked to participate at church, and you younger boys, you can listen. It's good for you to learn this too. But if you are asked to share at church, Maybe you're asked to pray. And I don't know how it is here normally, but in our church, we don't normally ask someone to lead in silent prayer. And if you're asked to pray, boys, speak so that people can hear. Don't bury your head down in the bench. Lift your head up so people can hear, because that's what you're doing. You're leading people in prayer so they can hear and they can pray with you. If you're up front and your knees are shaking so bad, just grab hold, hang on, and let people hear what you have to say, because it doesn't do any good to stand up here and just whisper because they can't understand it anyway. Make so they can understand in the back, so they can hear what you're saying, because it will probably encourage them and it will probably encourage you too. Well, what else? Maybe I should say a little bit for the girls. Girls, be courteous. Be friendly, but not forward, especially to strangers. I think youth, both sides of the house, you have strangers come in. And if the youth go and meet those strangers, especially other young people, and make them feel at home. Youth, watch out for the people that are struggling. Maybe there's someone that's a little crippled. Maybe there's an older person that needs a little bit of assistance. Maybe there's someone that can't hardly get around. Be quick to try and help. Be kind. Encourage your parents or your leaders. I've heard a lot of men complain about needing to go to meetings. And preachers aren't exempt from that, of kind of feeling, you know, they're leaving the children at home, leaving the families at home. But there's other meetings too, whether it's school board meetings, whether it's whatever it is. But youth, if you tell your parents, if you tell your leaders that you're praying for them, they might not have to have as many meetings. You ever think of that? The encouragement can make a lot of difference in the way that they can go and conduct themselves and feel the support. Well, if you'll bear with me one more time here yet. You shake hands with each other, don't you? That's a good thing to do. And I don't care whether you're a boy or a girl. A handshake is meant to convey something. And if you act like you're really scared, or you just, we used to call it a limp fish. You know what that is? Just barely shake hands and you don't know what to do with it. But it's good. Look the person in the face that you're shaking hands with. Let them know that you think they're a human being worthwhile. And say good evening, good morning, whatever you say. But let that person know that you care about them. Not being forward, not being out of line, but rather that you're courteous. And that's a common courtesy that sometimes as youth, it's hard because we're shy, we're scared. But I think as we do that to older people, we shake hands with them, we let them know we care about them. We do it to younger people, we let them know we care about them. It will bring us together. I know you're not all youth, but I would like to see us just stand up and shake hands with at least two people and tell them good evening. Look them in the face. Let them know you care about them. It's not even painful. And it cheers you up probably as much as the other person. But that's my pre-whatever. Something that's on my heart that we would... The Bible tells us to remember to entertain strangers. But I think that's something good for us, youth and otherwise, that we would remember to be courteous, to let people know that we care about them. Well, I'd like to read a few verses from Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, beginning there, or I'm sorry, chapter 11, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Goes on to give kind of a veiled thought of people as they get old. Their eyes get dim. They get bowed. They can't hardly see. They lose their strength. They can't hardly hear. And he's telling us here that we should remember our Creator before those days come, while we're young. He goes on, verse 13 of chapter 12. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." God wants us to be accountable, because he's going to hold us accountable for our lives, what we've done. Youth is a time from changing from childhood to an adult. It's a time when we become aware of our appetites, a time when we learn our capabilities, a time when we make choices that affect the rest of our life, a time when we can develop good or bad habits, a time when our bodies are in peak physical condition, a time of hope and promise for the future, a time of freedom without as much weight of responsibility. Also, with youth, comes a time that we learn about temptations. Satan brings temptations to us. As we become aware that, you know what, I have things that I like to do, and I have things that I don't like to do. Satan wants to tempt us with things that appeal to us. What do you like? Oh, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be doing this, but I really like it. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Taken from Timothy. Youth, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with your feelings, with your appetites, with the things you like, with the things that you enjoy to do? And maybe you find that you can have a hidden life. You can have a time when you can do things as you grow up. Maybe you leave home. Maybe you move somewhere else. You go somewhere else to work. whatever, and you have the opportunity to have more of a hidden life. And as you face those things, and as you give in to them, or you don't, you will make habits for yourself. You'll make habits that will plague you for a long time. Or you can learn to work through things and will give you strength and give you purpose that will affect your life, the decisions you make will affect you through life. Daniel chapter 1, I'd like to read a few verses there. Daniel chapter 1, verse, let's begin with verse 8, but let's just think about Daniel here. And here he is, a captive in a foreign land. He had a chance to do things that nobody back home would have found out about, like as not. He was a long ways away. He was among other people that practiced completely different than what he knew and was taught that he should do. Daniel 1 verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Well, we know the story of Daniel, how that when he asked to be given vegetables instead of wine and meat, that he actually flourished. When he ate things that were healthy for him, he actually flourished. But it says that Daniel purposed in his heart. You know, unless you purpose in your heart to follow God, it doesn't just come naturally. You won't find yourself one day, you know what? I actually, just by chance, I happen to be following God like I should. When temptation comes, you need the purpose that you have purposed to follow God. None of us came here tonight in a car by getting in, turning on the motor, putting it in drive, closing our eyes, and letting go of the steering wheel. That's not the way it works. And you can understand that. You say, well, of course not. That's ridiculous. And yet people treat their lives that way. As though it doesn't matter what you do, but you'll come out at the right place. Even if you don't use God's word, even if you go by people that have drawn you away from God, even if you've done things that you know you shouldn't have, that somehow will still bring you out at the right place. It won't. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he gave us some very good advice. It was old advice, but it's still good today. Fear God and keep his commandments. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The pressures of life and the society we live in tells us to wake up to our senses. What would you like to do? Please yourself. They'd like to sell you things. Whatever you want to help yourself on that quest. They would like to encourage you on that because they can make money. The devil would like for us to focus on self, my feelings, my rights, my things, my money, my time, my friends, my decisions. It's all about me. I'm the one making the decisions. I can decide for myself. You see, I'm almost, what? I'm 18, I'm 21, I'm whatever age I am. I can make those decisions now. I don't need to listen to anybody else. The Lord said, honor your father and mother. We've heard that. The Lord said, children, obey your parents. We heard that. Romans chapter 1. Romans 21-32. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Not a very pretty picture. But as I understand this passage, the people that do these things are those that knew what they should do. They understood the will of God and they didn't do it. And God gave them up to a reprobate mind because they didn't follow him. And I recognize that not all youth, as soon as they disobey, as soon as they do something they shouldn't, that God doesn't give them over to a reprobate mind. But I think that we need to take this very seriously. That if we start down that path, and people don't know, today they claim they don't know what makes a person gay. But this here tells us what it comes from. God gives them up to a reprobate mind. They get all mixed up because they chose to not do and not follow God. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. The direction for us today starts in our youth. Parents, guide your youth. Walk with them. You can't do away with the knowledge God has given you without consequences. Sin. Sin is what keeps us from God. Sin has consequences. Sin is deceitful. If you as a youth feel that you can sin a little bit and you can hide it and nobody will know it, it leaves its impact on your life. It will make you struggles. It will bind you up that you can't get loose. You can't quit when you want to. Oftentimes, sin leaves scars in our hearts and our minds. If we tonight are here and there is hidden sin in our life, get rid of it. Take care of it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's peace to be had if you have sin and you confess it and forsake it. Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I know youth is a time of impulsiveness. We'd like to reap now. We'd like to have the benefits now. If we want something, we would like it now. But here he says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Well, youth, a time of hope and promise for the future. A time of awakening of our senses. 2 Timothy 2:22 and 23. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. The devil would like to tempt us with our senses. With the awakening of our senses, with the awareness. God gave you senses as something beautiful. Satan would like to take those and make something bad out of them. He would like for them to make you fall, to use that to make you fall. God gave them to you as something beautiful. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I offer you this evening, youth, as something to help you to read God's word. To study, to memorize God's word. It's something that will help you in times of temptation, in times of struggle. If you can memorize verses and run them over in your mind, it will help you. Also in James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Submit to God. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The psalmist says in Psalm 25, verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth. I believe David had struggles in his youth. He acknowledged that he had sins in his youth, and he asked the Lord to forgive him. Well, youth, you oftentimes have more vision than maybe the older people. Youth, you need to have a vision. You aren't bogged down with as much of the cares of life as older people are. Don't waste your time. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. If we look around and are aware, the days are evil. Purpose in your heart to follow God. It's a little like flying an airplane by instruments. I don't know how many of you know how to fly. I don't know how many of you know what it's like to be in an airplane trying to fly by instruments when you can't see anything outside other than white fog. But that's a little like it is, youth, sometimes in life. You look out the window and you can't really tell exactly where you're going. And if you find yourself in life that way, I'll tell you what the instructor tells you when you're learning to fly. He says, follow the map. Fly by your instruments, follow the map. Don't look outside. It will confuse you. And sometimes life is that way. We look around and we try and find direction in the world, and it's not there. Follow the map. Follow God's word. That's the best place that you can turn to. Well, there's a bit of a story in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put words in thy mouth. Jeremiah. It's thought that Jeremiah was about 13 years old at this point in his life. God wants to direct you. God has a purpose for you, even at a young age. Open your heart to Him. God has a call on your life as well. Most of us don't fully understand God's call at age 13. But there's a mission field all around us. There's hurting people. There's a lot of opportunities with sick people, with people that need even help with their youngsters. You don't have a lot of older people here that need help, but there's times when people do need help. Notice the people around you. Notice the people that are struggling. Maybe there's someone that's just standing off to themselves and they aren't saying much. And you can see that they're struggling in their mind. A young person, even a young person, a youth, you don't have to find out what all's going on. You can just say, you know what? How you doing? Give them a smile. It doesn't cost you much. Smiles are pretty cheap these days. But young people, boys and girls, you can help people by doing that. Now, I don't know how it is up here with the youth, but I do know that it's a tendency for youth, you know, when they don't have something to do all the time, I'm bored. I'm bored. You ever hear that? I probably don't say that up here, right? But if you're bored, get to work. There's a lot to do. If you're bored and you're a child and your mom or your dad are struggling to get stuff done, There's no use. You need to be bored. And I'll tell you another secret. As you reach out and help your parents or your grandparents or your younger brothers and sisters, you're not going to be bored anymore. And you're going to feel like there's something worthwhile in life. Satan wants you to follow, to focus on your body, on your needs, your wants, how you feel. God wants you to focus on others, helping others, reaching out. That's what God wants you to do. That's what He's made you for. God wants you to focus on Him and what you can do with His help. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If we feel unable, do we feel Christ is unable? Once again, the Christian witness of young people in the home and in the church has a tremendous impact for God. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. I hope you don't get bored if I tell you one more little story about flying. But there was a airport up in the hills, and it was a bit tough to fly into. It was called Flying M. I don't know if any of you have ever been there or not. But there's a restaurant there you could go and eat. But the runway came uphill just a little bit and ended right at the base of a hill that went up. And to fly in there, you had to fly down between the hills a bit, and the runway wasn't very long. And you had to be just right and touch down, and you were in good shape. And then taking off, as long as the wind wasn't too much behind you, it went downhill just a little bit, and you could take off, and you would gradually climb between the hills until you got out. But when you came into land, once you got to a certain point, coming down in there, you weren't landed yet, but you had to commit to landing because there was no way that you could climb as fast as that hill was in front of you. And the first time in, it was kind of scary. You learned a little bit, and I flew in there several times. But there was a point where you had to commit. I'm going to commit to landing. And if you said, you know what, I'm not going to land anymore, well, then you were going to crash because you couldn't get away from it. So once you committed to landing, you did everything you could. And it worked out for most people. But sometimes, youth, that's like life. And in your commitment to serve God, you're going to find places that it's going to look almost impossible. But once you have committed to following God, you need to keep on that course. You won't be able to outclimb the terrain. And if you can take that simple example to heart and commit to God, even when it looks impossible, commit to following God. If you would bear with me just a bit, I'd like to talk about dating and courtship. I know that that's something youth face, and I have no idea if all you youth are dating or not, or if none of you are. You know that, I'm sure, but I haven't really paid much attention whether that was even something that you're concerned about here. I'm sure you're concerned about it. But what's the right age? That's something that a lot of youth face as they're growing up. What is the right age? Well, I would say the right age to start dating is when God opens the door and your parents are behind you. You need to give up to God first. That's what you need to do. You need to give up to God first. What to look for in a life partner? First thing, relationship with God. A person that's sincere with God. Number two, a relationship with others. Kindness, not boastful, not selfish. It's important in marriage that a person, as they come together, that both people are not selfish. You know, babies crying all through the night, that will test selfishness. When the whole family is sick and they're throwing up and there's messy diapers all around, that tests selfishness. And it's good if you can have that taken care of ahead of time. Relationship with parents. Is the person that you're thinking about respectful to their parents and to their authority? It's important to be frugal and not stingy, ready to give, have an open hand to give, to help, honest. Boys, if there is a girl that you have spent time with, taken out on a date, by God's grace, make sure that when you take her back to her parents, to her home, to where she's staying, that she is built up spiritually by your time together. I challenge you, boys, with that. The devil will tempt you to focus on yourselves. By God's grace, focus on others and their needs. It's good to do something for someone else. It's good to do something with someone else. Don't focus on yourselves. Focus on others. There are some things that you care about that don't really matter. I remember one young man that he was dating a girl for a while, and she said, "Well, I don't think I want to date him anymore." And someone asked her, what was the matter? Well, she said his feet were too big. And he doesn't look very nice. He's not very handsome. Well, those are some things that as people get older, whether you're looking at a girl and thinking she's beautiful or not, or whether you're looking at a boy and he's not the most handsome one you ever saw, you know, as they get older, the true character shines through much more than their outward looks. Money. How much money do you need? Young men, how much money do you need before you can consider dating? Do you know how much? Have you set a goal for yourself? I'll tell you how much you need. If you're living for God and you don't have a dime, you have enough. If you are committed to God and you've been on the mission field and you come home or wherever you find yourself, if you are committed to God, it's not a matter of money. It's a matter of commitment to God. Well, if you'd just bear with me, I got one more story I'd like to tell you. And there was, money isn't everything. There was a man in the area there. He was north of us a ways, but they had a fairly good-sized business. And this man was a go-getter. He was just all the time, come on, the hired men, you know, get going. Don't slow down. So one day he was trying to get the hired man to keep going, and he was going to jump on the truck and ride along beside till he got to the next place. And as he went to jump up on the truck, he told the guy, "Keep going, keep going." And he reached up to jump on the truck, and his foot slipped, and he went down underneath the truck, and it killed him. Well, through that, their family, their business, they got millions of dollars of insurance money. But within several years, that family business was broke because they didn't use that money wisely. And it's not how many millions of dollars you have. It's important, young men, that you learn to handle money, whether it's $10 or whether it's $10 million. It's better not to go deep into debt for fun. It's better for the parents to teach and instill morals and work ethics. It's better for the parents to do that than to just give their children money. We are stewards of the money and the things that God has entrusted to us. Each one of us is a steward. When we were born, we didn't come into this world with anything. And whatever we have is something that has been given to us. And God has entrusted us with that to be a steward and to turn and help others with that, to bless Him. Well, a few verses in closing. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. James chapter 1 tells us to ask God for wisdom and to not be double-minded and unstable. He goes on in chapter 3 to tell us that there's two kinds of wisdom. One that's earthly and sensual, and one that's from above. And you want the wisdom that's from above. Let God give you wisdom. Finally, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Youth, trust God. Ask Him for wisdom. Be a peacemaker and be thankful. Lord bless you.